podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome along once again to the Cardiff City phone-in. There's only two people on the screen at the moment, but we'll be joined by others in the course of the show. However, the bonus is we're both called Steve. So there we go. You know, it's got to be a good thing. And Steve Thomas is resplendent in his whale shirt tonight, which apparently is from 1991. So tell us about the heritage of that shirt.
No, just saying, Steve, that this is a shirt I wore at the game in 1991 where we beat Germany, the whole of the Germany, not the West Germany that won the World Cup the previous year, with Ian Rush scoring the goal at the old National Stadium. I'd also say that it was 3 days after my daughter was born, so I'll never forget the date. My daughter was born on the 2nd of June, 91, and the game was on the 5th of June. So I was pleased that my wife and my daughter stayed in hospital, so I was able to go to the game, and they came home the next day. So I do remember that week very well.
Very, very kind of them to be so considerate for you.
Indeed, yeah.
We're going to talk about Cardiff City, obviously, and Wales. We've got loads to talk about. We'll be joined by other guests in a bit. But in terms of Wales, obviously a massive match for Wales tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, massive match, biggest one for some time. Yeah. You think about certain ones like the Bowden penalty and this kind of stuff, you know, and the Joe Jordan header.
Yes.
And things like that over the years, you know, for such a small nation, it's quite amazing, really, that we've got anywhere near it. How big a match is this in your eyes for Wales tomorrow? How significant is it?
I think it's massive. One of the biggest it sounds ridiculous to say it's one of the biggest for some time, but I think there's a lot on this game from the point of view of where we go forward from this, because I think the players in the squad now would benefit hugely from going to the Euros in Germany. Look how we benefited from the push on we got from France. This will be our third consecutive Euros to be qualified for. We're in a group we can get out of, I think. Not the easiest group, not the worst group, but I think it's a good opportunity. Though it's stating the obvious again to say that Poland are going to be a completely different proposition tomorrow night, as Wales faced last week. I think we did give Finland a few good positions on occasions, and I think a more clinical side would have taken better advantage of it. I'm confident, but not overconfident. I very much hope we can do it, and I very much hope we can have a presence in Germany next year.
So there's two players that spring to mind, obviously, with Cardiff City connections. Nice to see Reuben Colwell getting back in the squad, and hopefully he'll get some game time. But I suppose the one we're both thinking about for a number of different reasons, really, is Aaron Ramsey.
Yes. I think we missed the way he connects play between the defence and the forward line. With all due respect to our forwards, I think we got better players for him to play the balls too. We've got pace in James and Brennan Johnson on the side. I think he would make a tremendous difference. I think we can expect a physical game against the Poles tomorrow night. He says again, stating the obvious, stating the old cliche. Lewandowski is still a quality player. He's obviously not as young as he used to be, but he's absolutely world class. Yeah. I think it's going to be a tough game. I'd take any sort of victory. I'd take a late night tomorrow after penalties and extra time. I hope we can do it in normal time, but I think it's going to be a far more close game. And I fear what happens if we were to go behind tomorrow. I hope we don't go behind tomorrow. I hope we can start off the game taking it to them as we did against the Finns last week, and we can get ahead in the early stages of the game, and then it can be them chasing the game and us picking them off, I hope.
Did you get to the game last week, Stu?
I didn't, unfortunately. It's midweek again, unfortunately.
Oh, you can't get there now. I'm just wondering, Nigel might have gone. Let's see if Nigel's just coming in there.
Hello, Nigel.
Hi, Nigel.
Hello, boys. Yeah, I was there. How are you? Hiya, Steve.
I'm good to see you.
I'm fine, thanks. Yeah, good to see you, Nigel. Yeah, two Steves, yeah. Nigel, you're at the game, the Finland game, then, yeah? So was there any kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm just being naive and wistful here, was there any kind of banter or sort of any sign of any kind of connection or goodwill with the Finnish fans, or was it just another bunch of away fans and there you go?
No, I thought their support was fantastic. They had a much bigger support than I thought they were going to bring. They didn't quite fill the away end as we know it, but they were quite a sight. They were all, you know, they had huge flags, so a number of times throughout the game you could see them holding up the flags and you heard him a couple of times, but to be honest, I was at the opposite end of the virtually diagonally opposite where they were, so I didn't hear too much of them because all the noise was coming from the Welsh fans on the night. We did have a period in the first half, which I'm sure if you were there, you saw it, where they probably did have a lot more possession and we didn't close them down quickly enough in midfield. And it did feel a little bit uncomfortable. But once we got the second goal, and then we let them back into the game just before the interval. But really, when they got the third goal straight after the restart, you did feel that there was no way they were going to cause us that many problems. They did have one really good winger, left winger.
Wasn't he good?
Yeah, and the first half he was playing in front of me. He was directly in front of me, and he really did give Conor Roberts a lot of trouble. But I was thinking I'd love to see him down at City.
I thought exactly the same thing. I was just looking for his name now. I thought exactly the same thing.
I just can't remember. Yeah, I did look him up. He plays for the Finnish team. He's not playing top level football, but I think before that game he'd scored 4 in the previous 6 internationals for Finland. So he definitely is one to watch. And I'm assuming Mr. Bullitt was there, so I wondered if it registered anything with him.
Well, on Radio Wales, they said we're joined by a celebrity, and they were talking about Graham Coughlin being there. You know, so I imagine he was there. Then I would imagine also that Errol was there.
Yeah, sure.
That left winger, I like the look of at all. What do you think about Ruben? You know, score for the under-21s against was a Lithuania. I think he's back.
Yeah, scored, and that assist for the Kumas goal. The Kumas finish was outstanding as well, wasn't it? But
let's get him back at City. Let's have Kumas back. There we go. The magic number 7. Nigel, remember that? Let's bring back the number 7.
I saw a friend of mine went out to Turkey last night, and the Welsh under-21 team were on the same flight as him. So he was sending pictures at Bristol Airport with the Welsh under-21s. I said, have a word with Kumas, get it to Cypher City. So I think they're playing a friendly in Morocco or something, but they're playing in Turkey, I understand. So they were flying out to Turkey last night.
If he's half as good as his dad, he's got to be worth having, hasn't he? Do you remember when he came on a sub his first game against Leeds? And we were 1-0 down at half-time, and straight away, he was fantastic.
Yeah,
he was one of those players, Steve, and I'll ask Nigel, I'm sure, and you, Steve, we must have ideas. He's one of those players, and there's not really that many of them. I mean, the Bennetts, when they were around, particularly Dave, you know, Dave Bennett. He's one of those players that when he got the ball, the whole stadium lifted, you know. He was just fantastic to watch. He had a real presence about him, didn't he?
Absolutely, absolutely. Some of the goals he scored were fantastic. Remember, it was that home game against Ipswich on a Monday night. I think it was live on Sky when we were 1-0 up and Michael Ricketts missed a penalty after Ipswich had a player sent off and Ipswich equalised. And in the last couple of minutes, he scored. He actually fell over in the opposition penalty area, got up and curled the shot perfectly into the top corner past the keeper. Cue mayhem, lots of people jumping around madly, as we always do. But yeah, I think about the goal. He scored a free kick against Doncaster Rovers away, perfect into the top corner. So when he gets the ball and he drove forward, he'd be excellent. And then obviously, the younger Kumas is at Liverpool. We have had a number of players on loan from Liverpool before. Perhaps let's look to get him some proper first team football next season at Cardiff City.
Well, it's only just across the border, isn't it? You know, it's only and the other one, I suppose, Nigel. I don't know where he's playing now. I think it's non-league. Is Young Savage? He looks like, you know, 15 times the player as that ever was.
Yeah, I think he's at Reading on loan. He's a prospect, yeah, definitely. Different player to his old man, but yeah, definitely got a talent.
And then if we look at Liverpool the other day when they were playing in that cup match and they cheekily put the kids out and they still won. You know, they've got so many fantastic youngsters. I know they've got some injury problems at the moment, but there must be quite a lot of those youngsters, and there is, you know, it's only just across the way from, you know, North Wales is just down the road. You know, you wonder if there is actually would be any mileage at all in getting somebody like young Kumas. He's a kid, isn't he? He's like 18 or something.
Yeah, well, I think in fairness, Cardiff have done reasonably well on loans the last year or two, and they do seem to look at these young prospects. But yeah, it would be nice to see a couple of these Welsh loans. And I suppose you look at Liverpool and you go, oh, aren't they good, all their young players? But then you realise how they go and rip them off from, like, Cardiff Academy, as we saw again last week with the player we lost to Man City. So you think, have they really got great academies, or do they just managed to pull away the best of what's available everywhere. And I think it's probably a bit of both.
Yeah, because they can do that, can't they? Because I think it was $250,000 that lad went for from Cardiff.
Yeah.
You know, which is in the grand scheme of things, if we think look to the future, is absolutely nothing. But in the short term, it's kind of a gamble, really, because you don't know what the kid's going to become. So I suppose you can take the money, but then they end up with, like, you know, 235 players in their squad. You know.
Yeah. Well, we saw it. What Charlie Crew went to Leeds, haven't we? There's another player went to Leeds. We lost. I suppose the one. Was Matondo. They had no time at Man City, but they sold it for $12 million, and they took him from us for $200,000, I think. And I'm not even sure we had a sell-on clause for him. So we missed out on, you know, they cashed in on that, and that's what they can do. These clubs, Chelsea, of course, are notorious for buying players from everywhere and just selling them on.
Wasn't it Everton who illegally approached him, Rabbi Matondo, when he was at Cardiff?
Yes, it was. You're right, Steve.
So Geraint Cole's talking about that, you know, how it shouldn't be allowed. But I kind of remember the ins and outs of it, Nigel. You might remember what's the deal with this? You know, if you got a kid and a bigger club comes in, you're kind of over a barrel, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't understand it all. I know Gavin at the academy has basically said they're pretty helpless, and I think it's something to do with the grade of academy as well. That Cardiff are Grade B, and players can be taken by Grade A academies. And I think if we went back to the Premier League, then they would upgrade to Grade A. It's a lot more investment it involves. But while we're at Grade B, I think that just means that we're at the hands of Premier League clubs. But, you know, same applies to most of the Championship clubs. I suppose the issue for Cardiff is, you know, we bring through this young talent in the academy, we need to give them a gateway to the first team. And we do block that for whatever reasons. And I was reading last night, Bristol City, you know, they're notorious for bringing through academy players. And I think 33% of the playing time this season have been players that they've brought through their academy. We can't say that at all. Ruben gets games for us, but no one else does.
No, he didn't seem, Steve, I might be wrong, but just before the show tonight, hoping to be joined by David Collins. He's obviously been doing football journalism all over the place. He's coming in a bit. But he sent me, he's been asked to write a story for Sunderland, for the Sunderland fan base for you know, it's a preview for the match. And one of the questions was about, like, you know, the transfer window and who we brought through, et cetera, et cetera. And I think the point that Nigel's making there is a good one about bringing youngsters through. If you think about players like, you know, at the moment, Joel Bagan and more so Isaac Davis out there on loan, I think he scored 8 goals now for a team towards the bottom of the division. Yeah. And according, whether it's his agent putting the word out there, I don't know. But saying, you know, all these bigger clubs across Europe are chasing him. It doesn't seem to be something that we don't seem to do very well, Steve.
We don't. I understand Isaac's got another year on his contract yet, but I think we'll have to see what happens on that. But yeah, I read some of the names of the clubs that are allegedly interested in Isaac, led by AS Monaco. So I think there's the...
Doesn't Dalman have a place there?
I think he does. Really coincidental, Steve, I'm sure. But yeah, I think no, we haven't been in any good, and I don't know why that is. I think when Neil Warnock was at the club, they didn't seem to be showing that much interest in the academy.
He wasn't interested, I don't think.
Yeah. When it comes through, then I also think it's good for. I mentioned last time I was on, I think about the fact that Ernie went out on loan to Green at Morton and came back a much better player. I hope that the same might happen with Isaac Davis, because we're missing somebody of his ilk, particularly playing against some of the better teams. Remember the particularly good game he had against Leeds in the FA Cup last season,
because he great, didn't
play
he?
Out, and he was very good at pressing, which you don't seem to have players to perform that function at the moment. So I hope that he can come through. But go back to Joel Bagan. I know you're a big fan of his, Steve.
Yeah.
It seems difficult to see what he's done wrong, because when he did play 2 or 3 seasons ago, he did seem to do a good job. I think he scored in 3 consecutive games at one point. So
he did, yeah. I called him Gold Bacon for a while, but it wasn't very funny, so I stopped doing it.
With good justification, yeah. It's difficult to see. I mean, we tend to bring through the odd gem, but we pick up on Nigel's point earlier as well. If Liverpool are literally vacuuming up the talent from right around the world, I mean, going back to Rabbi Matondo, I understand, didn't Everton offer to buy his parents a house in the Northwest to get around the local residency? And we might, obviously, I don't know about our finances, but teams lower down surely can't compete with that.
No, David Collins has joined us now. Sorry, David, but if there was an issue with the time. Thanks for coming in.
I do apologise. I simply thought it was...
No, that's all right.
O'clock.
That's all right. I wanted to ask you, Dave.
I've broken every rule Mark Drakeford has ever introduced to laugh on in time.
Well, we didn't hear that bit, so that's all right. So David, just to ask you, because I know you cover, you're a football journalist, you cover a lot of games, you see a lot of the youngsters' matches. I don't know whether you covered the Wales under 21 recently, did you?
Yes, I did. I covered, it's an unusual fixture, Wales under 21 versus Liechtenstein under 23 at Rodney Parade. And the Colwell brothers both appeared for Wales. And I suppose I was paying particular attention to them, but they were head and shoulders better than the others. Reuben Colwell in particular, he's so composed.
He's physically head and shoulders, isn't he?
Well, literally, he's massive.
Yeah, he's huge.
I wish
he'd
buy him a bigger pair of shorts, though. But he uses class, and his brother was not far behind him. And another game I covered in the press box, it wasn't an under-21 game, but it was Wales against Gibraltar. And there was a lot of youngsters playing in that game. Mm. And you were talking there about, loan players and giving players a chance. You know, Charlie Savage caught the eye in that game. Regan Poole did very well. Now the lad Kumas coming through at Liverpool.
Yeah.
There's a wealth of talent coming through for Wales. One name I would throw into that mix about good Cardiff City youngsters over the last couple of years was Ellie King. He struck me as being quite composed in the middle of the park, and maybe if we have, let's say, 8 meaningless games between now and the end of the season, which I would suggest we do, then maybe the likes of, Kean Ashford, the younger Colwell, is it Joel Colwell?
And
some of the other youngsters might get an opportunity. I do hope so.
I'm just trying to think, Dave. While you're talking, I'm just trying to think. You'll remember before me. What's the name of that young winger? Is it Kieran something? He's out on loan somewhere.
Kieran Evans.
Yeah, so Kieran Evans. Yeah. Then you got Ollie Dunham, who's playing over for Sligo in Ireland. I think Jamie Crowell's out on loan at the moment. And then we got Eli King. I can't remember where he's in Scotland, I think, isn't he? And then Kean Ashford knocking on the door. Yeah. What do you think, David, about what's your gut feeling about, because I answered that thing you sent me through earlier about the Sunderland game for that coverage you were doing there. And
I did see that, thank you.
You're welcome. Might be a few typos, I did in a bit of a hurry just before the show. But what do you think, do we, going back to what Nigel said, you might have missed it when you were coming in. Nigel was talking about giving some players, I think it was either Nigel or Steve, giving some players a crack, giving them a bit of first team experience. And then kind of bringing them into the mix a little bit more, whereas at the moment, a lot of our promising youngsters don't even get anywhere near the first team and they're already gone, and they're already sold on.
Yeah, that's been a problem over the last few years. As I say, we're going to go up and we certainly don't look like we're going down. So now would be, a relatively good chance to blood the likes of Ashford. Mm-hmm. But it goes back to the same old problem. We could have bloody Ian Rush and Jimmy Greaves up front for us, but we're not creating the chances. So however good, Earnshaw or Ash might be in that 6-yard box, if we're not getting the ball, to your point, yes, I...
You're buffering a bit, David.
If
you excuse the phrase.
He's waiting for him to come back. I was seeing on Twitter last night, I forgot the name, George Ellick, who runs the Not the Top 20 podcast, covers the championship, and he does a lot of stuff on Radio 5 as well. He was talking about Reuben Colwell, and he said he can't believe how he doesn't start that many games for Cardiff. And if he was at Bristol or Blackburn, club like that, he'd probably be on 70-odd appearances instead of, I think he's only ever started 30 games for Cardiff so far. I think that's the way to go now, I think. They've got to start Reuben every game. So, let's get rid of Josh Bowler. He's had enough opportunities. He's not going to be here next season, but he's not going to be here next season, is he? There's no way they're going to take him on. So I think they have got to look at Joel Colwell. Start Rubin. Let's have Rubin for an hour and Aaron Ramsey for 30 minutes, you know, while and get him back back into it.
That's the point, Nigel, I was going to ask you about, because one of the things that David, that people in Sunderland were asking about was about the transfer window and how we did in it. And my answer was really, numerically, we did quite well.
Yes.
But in terms of quality, we kind of didn't. And my gut feeling is, I might be totally wrong, right? My gut feeling is that Arrow Bullock must have had a word with the powers that be at the club, and they must have said there's a certain budget available.
Yeah.
My guess is, we thought we were going to spend a couple of mil on bringing the big man back up front, right? Yeah. And then it didn't happen, and so then we had a couple of mil to play with, and we spent it anyway. But we couldn't get a striker, so we spent a couple of million on Turnbull, who's a decent player, but he's not a striker. Yeah. Right. So we brought him in over a couple of million. He's basically a number 10, really. Then you got Ruben, and then you got the return in Aaron Ramsey, So it becomes kind of how do we manage that one, I wonder?
Yeah. And for me, I think it, what I've seen of, is it Henderson we got? Like, from his name now from Celtic. Not Henderson.
Turnbull.
Sorry. Why am I thinking Henderson?
Yeah.
I don't think he's settled yet. He hasn't found his way into this
team.
No,
I don't think so either.
To be honest, the only thing I can recall of all his appearances so far, he had a cracking shot in the last home game that was a good save against Ipswich. Other than that, I think he's been fairly anonymous for us. And there's no doubt that Rubin has more impact than him. And he's playing in the position where I think he would get the best out of Rubin as well. I think part of the problem he has at the moment is when he's brought on, he's put out on the left wing or the right wing. He's not getting that role where playing that number 10, where I think you will get the best from him. And at the moment, it looks like Turnbull is blocking that. But surely you'd get a bit more if you mixed it up with Rubin and Aaron Ramsey playing there. Now Aaron's back. Give him start with one and replace with the other during the game and give it a go. Yeah. We have to try something different to get more creative than we are.
Yeah, we do. I mean, that's the other thing I said to David in the response is that with Errol Bullock, what are your thoughts on Errol Bullock? Maybe we'll go around on that in a second. I'm just going to go to Errol Bullock in a second, but Jeff Dela Cruz, not like Jeff Dela Cruz to be controversial. Cardiff City management are invariably not motivated enough to blood our youngsters, going back to what David said. They want what it says on the tin, loan players. The Lazy and Bullet and his team have followed this sad tradition. Steve, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I think whilst I agree entirely what Nigel just said about the need to get Ruben Colwell more games, I suspect that Errol will want to get as many points on the board between now and the end of the season. And to pick up on Jeff's point there as well, I think he feels the safer option is to use the what it says on the tin loan players, as Jeff indicates there. And I don't think we will see. I agree entirely with what Nigel said to say, but I don't think we'll see it. I think we'll see Ruben playing a cameo role again, and it just won't happen. I think if we've got effectively, if we're definitely not going up, we're definitely not going down. Let's try out some players. Let's have a look. But then, of course, to be fair to Errol, it's going to be better from his point of view if he's looking at enhancing his CV to move on somewhere else. He's going to want as many points as possible on the board, so he can say, look, this is where I finished Cardiff City that season, rather than look into next season. If now we can finally make a decision as to, is Errol going to stay next season, then I think that might affect his mindset. He may want to have a look at some of the fringe players. He may want to have a look at some of the players who don't play so much. But until that's sorted, I don't think we're really going to know where we are.
I think you're right, Steve. I agree with you, but don't you think they'll get more points and more goals if they're playing Rubin instead of either Josh Bowler or Turnbull?
Yes, and I'm playing devil's... I agree, Nigel, but just playing devil's advocate at the moment, I think he feels that stopping the other team scoring is more important than us scoring.
Yeah.
David, do you want to come on that one? Because just to say, David, if you want to come in on that one, and then I'll follow it up by asking you about covering the Swansea match. we're not hearing you at the moment, David. Sorry, and you're not getting any audio from you.
You're on mute, Dave.
No, No, there's a mic. There's a mic issue, I think.
He's lost for words.
Yeah, sorry, David. I think your setup needs a little bit of the old Azure father. So look, we'll come away for you at the moment. Hopefully, you can hear us. We're not hearing the audio at the moment. I don't think you are muted. I think there's something else going on there. So, Steve, talking about the youngsters as well. Yeah. Hopefully, we get David on in a sec. Isaac Davis, right? So Isaac Davis, going back to what the point was made earlier about how I think it might have been you when you looked really good in that position up front, you know, in the cup match, which we could have won that match, by the way, we probably should have done actually. Yeah. Second time, you know, we should have done Leeds.
Yeah.
But Isaac Davis there was kind of playing, you know, the one thing Isaac Davis brings to the table, he brings other things, but the one thing he definitely brings is something we don't have, and that is pace.
Absolutely.
You know, so if he's playing up front off the last defender,
yeah.
I wonder with the way that Errol Bullitt sets up, you know, where would Isaac fit into that team?
I'm not sure he would at the moment, unless you stick him in instead of a player like Josh Bowler, who's on loan, is unlikely to be here next season. He played much better last season against better teams, notably, as I say, the Leeds game, because if a team's trying to play out from the back, he's very good at hassling. And again, as I said, I remember him coming on as a sub when we were 1-0 down against Huddersfield. Goodness, it might be two or three seasons ago now. He came on, he got us a corner for the first goal, and then he put in that perfect cross for Kiefer to head in, and we ended up beating them 2-1. So again, it's all very well having the man in the middle, going back to Yeju, the point he made previously. We don't know how good a striker he is because he's not actually getting any service into the box. And Isaac Davis is the type of player who could provide that. But again, to pick up what you said, if he were to just use him as an inverted winger, as Errol's currently using both Josh Bowler and Carlin Grant, he's not really going to be able to function in that because he's a different sort of player. But we would have to change the way the system we're playing in, I think.
David?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Used to this particular software. Going back to the point Steve made earlier on about not conceding a goal, Errol Bullitt seems to approach games not wanting to lose rather than win. Now, most of the time, I would be quite happy with that. Anyone who's seen me play football would definitely appreciate my support of that. But there does come a point where you think, you know, how much longer can we keep it tight and keep playing these, you know, the solid midfield players. I mean, he says to Colwell about, oh, you need to do more on the defensive side of the game. But does he say to Wintle, you need to do more on the offensive side of the game? Hmm. And when Steve talked about, you know, it doesn't matter who we have in the box, that was my point early on. We're just not creating chances. I think the transfer window goal was to buy Kiefer Moore. And when that failed, we didn't have a plan B. So, you know, we just got a random selection of players. To be honest, I struggle to remember some of their names. Turnbull's done okay, but no one else has caught the eye. Even, you know, Ollie Tanner scored one goal early on this season and nothing else. Bowler, you know, there's so much that's just not delivering. But this is why they're playing in the Championship for Cardiff City. Even Grant, who Bullitt seems to like, you know, he just doesn't fill me with. He's not a flair player, I don't think. You know, hardworking, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm. I think he's another one, though, David. I would say that he's recently, it's happened in a couple of games. He's looked so much better, either on the right or in the centre, but on the left, it's kind of he basically doesn't have that foot. You know, how can he create?
Who, Grant?
Yeah, and equally Bowler on the other side. You know, Bowler just doesn't own a right foot. You know,
you think Bowler's going to do something? He'll go past a defender, and we scored one cracking goal the other week. Oh,
yeah, he scored that one great goal, didn't he?
Yeah, with our new Senegalese centre forward, you know, swept home a lovely cross from Bowler. I thought, oh, here we go, but there's a few and far between.
Yeah, and what's your thoughts? I suppose you can't. I suppose, David, it's unfair to ask you, really. What's your thoughts on JGU so far? You know, I suppose we just don't know what he's like because he's just not getting any service. Is that fair to say?
Well, he came on in one game, and I thought, yeah, he looks the business. He's, you know, he's big and he's a tiger man. He's holding up layer off. But we just seem to rotate between two or three different centre forwards.
Yeah.
And there's never any, you know, maybe in the last eight games we might get a bit of consistency, but we're also talking about blooding youngsters. So I don't know. It's almost as if we don't know what we want, and the club okay. don't know what they want. You know, I suppose if you'd said to me at the start of the season, you'll finish in the top 10 and above Swansea City, I would have taken that.
Probably,
in,
yeah.
You know, given the last 5 years or so. Particularly if you throw in a victory over Swans and a double over Bristol City as well. I know that doesn't define our season, but it's always nice. So, you know, and if there's money available in the transfer window again, if Burridge stays, it's just always
yeah, it's if, all if and buts, isn't it?
It's always if we kind of City. You know?
If some bullets.
If some bullets, very good. I'll use that, Steve.
David, I want to ask you while you're on. Just it's an interesting one because obviously you know you're an author and you're a journalist and I mean I famously in my world famously covered that Leeds United game in the cup when that night yeah and I was covering it for Leeds Club Call funny enough, but in your case when you went down down the road to the Liberty. And you are obviously on the Cardiff City phone in, so I'm guessing you're a Cardiff City supporter. But you've got to be kind of, to some extent, diplomatic, I suppose, and neutral and objective. What were your thoughts? How was it for you personally, I suppose, to kind of digest that day?
It was pouring with rain, and I couldn't find the car park. And I thought, I can hardly ask for directions with an accent like this. So I just had to sort of. I went to the actual ground. I said, look, I don't know where to park, but, you know, can I go in here? Oh, no, such and such a cab. I can go over there, turn around. In the end, I did find it, and I thought, oh, yes, I have parked here before. And I've got to say, I'm always made very welcome in the press suite at Swansea City. The breakfast was to die for, a Jack breakfast. We had a bacon chop, a Cumberland sausage, egg, beans, tomato. It was absolutely wonderful. And I don't know if any of you know the broadcaster, Mal Pope.
I know Mal, yeah.
He's on Radio Wales, and he's done lots
of... Jack, obviously.
He's done lots of bits and pieces over the years on football. He's worked with Elton John. He's auditioned for Eurovision.
He's a nice bloke, actually.
He's a very nice bloke, and he's a big Swansea City fan. And he actually came and sat next to me during the entire course of the game, which, you know, made it quite a good laugh.
He's keeping an eye on you, Dave.
he is good fun. But one thing about working in the press box at these games, it does make you watch the opposition more because you're making a note of, oh, that left back is the place for Millwall or whatever. And that is the same if you're watching, you know, Cardiff Met or Wales versus Finland. And he was pointing things out to me about the Swansea players, and he was interpreting some of the crowd chants from there. So what are they chanting? He said,
Don't tell us now. It's a family show.
Jump up if you hate Cardiff, because they would all bounce up and down.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's not exactly Lennon McCartney, is it? But so as an experience, you know, they always make me very welcome, because they're all the Swans players, fans and officials, we're all going mental to a man around me, particularly when that last goal went in. Behind me, though, was sat... It looked like the sort of North Korean cabinet, sat very gloomy, very stony-faced men in dark overcoats. And there was Steve Bawley, Ken Chu, a couple of others I recognised from the ground staff. And whilst everyone else was on their feet like it was New Year's Eve, they were sat there like it was Remembrance Sunday. So I did notice that. But
David, sorry, just what about when you saw the starting lineup and you saw he'd gone with the inverted wingers again and you saw how well we played towards the end of that Ipswich game when we did kind of shake it up a bit and try a few things. And to me, it just looked fresh and we looked so much better. And it was back to same old, same old. What were your thoughts when you saw that?
Well, before the game started, you know, I was confident that this was our turn. But as soon as... There was a game in the Premier League a couple of years ago that I wrote about, and it was Ipswich away. I think it was a 3-3 draw quite late in the season. And it was 25 minutes before we even felt as if we'd gone out of the starting blocks. And it was like that against Swansea City. You know, they were everywhere. I wouldn't say it matters more to them, but I stumbled into the press conference after the game and I listened to Errol Bullitt and then the Swansea manager, whose name sadly escapes me. And then they brought on
Liam Coolhand Cullen. Luke, I think it is.
They brought on Luke Cullen then. Liam Cullen.
Yeah.
I mean, he scored a goal, which I think he scuffed, but they would all say it was a wonderful volley. He scored a goal, he missed a good header and missed a penalty, so he had an eventful day. And he, joking aside, he was genuinely interested in the way he talked about the match and the way the fans got behind him when he missed a penalty and this thing. But he did say one story that the chef gave him, the club chef gave him a motivational speech before the game about this all means.
Was he the guy who made the Cumberland sausages, I wonder?
Well, if he was, he was a good chef. But, he gave a speech saying how much this means to the club and the fans.
Yeah.
Those 20,000 out there. And somebody said, what's his favourite dish? And I said, revenge. But then this chef, apparently, and this is just a sort of amusing aside, this chef is obsessed with, victory over Cardiff. And he puts a notice on his fridge door saying how many games to go to the derby and all that. So I went up quietly to Jason Perry, who I suppose I half know. And I said, not that they're obsessed with us, but the bloody chef has got a note telling you where the game is. So he said, we're the biggest game, we're their biggest game of the season. And I know we all say those kind of things after losing to Swansea, but I do wish it would have been ours. But funny enough, I was watching some of the highlights in the gym when earlier on today. And that incident with, was it Miette who was showing the yellow card? He pressed his nose on Darling's, he pressed his forehead on Darling's nose, and Darling went down as if Mike Tyson had hit him. I thought, listen, if that man would have wanted to butt you, he would have butted you,
But
it was so annoying,
I mean, but also, it was incredibly stupid, though, David, for him to do that, because he could easily have been sent off.
Absolutely, and in such a high-profile game as well, maybe it's naive. You know, players are going to make the most of it, and they took him off at half time. You remember because, and the Swansea manager commented on that. They took him off at half time because he's on a yellow card, walking a tightrope. I think he was fired up.
He lost his head.
We then had that rare glimpse of Ramsey and Colwell playing in the same team, which I think Steve mentioned earlier on this evening.
Yeah.
They were just streets ahead of the rest of our players. Ramsey sees the pass before he gets the ball. So, he's got these photographs in his mind. And Colwell was pirouetting and turning and trying to create. And the only thing was, and it's the same as we keep saying, they didn't create chances. All the pressure, we had so much of the ball, but we never really put the goalie.
We almost did a Swansea on Swansea, didn't we? We had the possession. We did absolutely nothing with it. One shot on target or something ludicrously, stupidly low over the course of the match.
It was almost the reverse of the game that we had at Cardiff earlier this season, wasn't it? Where they were absolutely appalling and we bossed it. And deserve the win. It won the greatest game in the world, but they never are these games, are they? No. And you're right, Steve. It's just so disappointing because they play front foot football against Ipswich the previous week.
Looks so good.
And they're the team we've lost fewest games in the Championship all season, and we deservedly beat them that day, even though it took that late turnaround to do it. And then you go to Swansea and do the exact opposite, and you think, was it seen at the corner in the first 15 seconds? Four corners in the first 5 minutes, they couldn't pass. There was no pace in them, so even if they tried to get forward, there were no runners. I was just hoping that they could have hung on until they did bring on the subs in the second half or at half time. Yeah. But you could see it was with that 11 they put out, it was only ever going to be one way traffic. We did crack before the interval, and that was it.
Yeah,
I mentioned before, I think the Swansea Cardiff game. It's now been 14, 15 years since the team that scored the first goal didn't win the match. It's always on the first goal.
Yeah, and if we never look like it, mind. But if we had managed somehow or other, I don't know, a free kick, a corner or something, got the first goal,
yeah,
and the pressure the Swansea were under, and how massive that match is to them, I think it could have been a different game. I was really disappointed, Nige, and I'll ask you. I know you kind of alluded to it there. I was really disappointed when I saw that starting lineup.
If I was
managing a club, I suppose, and I wondered with Errol Bullitt whether it's a case of like pride, I suppose, and professional pride. You know, this is the way I play. This is the way it is. But that the game against Ipswich, when we changed around, and we ended up with Dowder down the left and kind of Grant and Colwell, all of a sudden, we look great. We look threatening. Yeah. We look like a team who could score goals, you know. And then we go away to our biggest rivals, and we just turn around and go back to the same old again.
Absolutely, Steve. I don't mean to get on his case, but you just knew that Josh Bowler is not a man for that, for the derby like that. You know, he's not somebody who gets stuck in and puts himself about. And he was anonymous, as he's probably been far too often this season. And yeah, you just, you know, I would have had Cowell on from the start, or Dowder like you. You know, you had to have players who were able to take the game a bit to Swansea and take Cardiff upfield. And all you had were, it just looked like 11 holding players. And although Mate lost his head and was frustrated, he was so isolated. It was unbelievable, you know. And you could have had Mbappe playing up front for us at Swansea. He wouldn't have done anything because there's just no service, you know, and that is the problem.
So with Errol Bullitt, you know, here we are now. David's the sharp guy, he'll work it out. I don't know, 6-7 weeks or something like that from the end of the whole shooting match. You know, we still don't know with Bullitt. You know, we still don't know whether he's staying, whether he's going. We still don't know about a contract. You know, we've got the summer transfer window is going to be huge, Steve, isn't it? The summer transfer window is going to be huge. Is he prepared to change his kind of tactics? Is he prepared to vary things? It's a massive, massive summer for us, I think, and a massive decision with Errol Bullitt. But I don't think we want to jump into and bring Jeff in again in a second to comment about this. But, you know, we don't want to kind of just jump into, let's get another new boss and go again. But if we got someone like Errol Bullitt, and he sets up, let's face it, he sets up not to lose, right? That's what he does. He's very defensively minded. Yeah. If we're going to kick on, it's getting pretty close now, isn't it, to making some sort of decision?
It is. We've got to make a decision about Errol, and we've got to make a decision quickly, because he's going to be looking at, he should be looking at players now. He should be looking to next season. But can I just come back to points made about the Ipswich game there? I don't think it was just the second half when with Ruben. And
we played throughout.
Yeah,
we had the great shot by Turnbull, the goalkeeper turned behind. We had another one that when the shot came in and Perry NG almost got on. Ipswich scored a good goal, and we kept going. And we brought O'Dowder on. O'Dowder was fantastic down the left. When he came on against Swansea, he was like the previous season. He was playing left back the whole time.
You need him up the pitch.
To answer the question, that Jeff's put on there. We need to make a decision. I mean, this show after the Ipswich game, I think it was unanimous about giving Errol a new contract. Now we've had the Swansea game where we seem to take, it was one step forward, two steps back, big time. After that game, if he sets up and he takes the game like he did take the game to Ipswich, I'd be 100% in favour. But it's just that the lack of consistency. But we do need to make a decision one way or the other. Let's either give Errol the contract or say we're not going to give Errol the contract. We're just going to see the season out. At least then we know where we are at the moment. It's just the uncertainty for everybody, particularly us as the supporters.
Well, let's whiz round on this one. So, David, I'll come to you next. I don't even see Jeff's comment on the screen, but he wants Bullitt gone, and he thinks, you know, Bullitt's there, he's spending money. If he's stuck in with this inverted kind of, you know, attack, well, not even, it's an inverted defensive formation rather than attacking formation. But if there's no service coming in from other, just let's not lose. Is it time? You know, what's your general thoughts on Errol Bullitt, David?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, he looks likely to give us our best season for some considerable time. The football hasn't been great, but it's a mild improvement on the likes of, I don't know, Neil Harris, etc. So Ian Walsh, the Radio Wales pundit, he says that Cardiff City just go, you know, stop, go.
He's a former Jack of mine, just to say.
He's a former Jack, he's a former Cardiff City player as well.
Yeah, I know, kind of.
But he didn't tear up any trees pull up any trees for Cardiff City. But, you know, I mean, we've had, since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, let's call that 10 years ago, we've had, I don't know, half a dozen different managers, if you include caretakers and everything else. And that's just not great for continuity. But Bullock himself has said, well, I'm not planning for next season because, I don't know if I'm going to be here. And if they did decide not to renew his contract, on what grounds? You know, because you've only finished 10th. And who do we get in place? You know, we might... You know, we'll have hopes of, I don't know, Craig Bellamy and Mark Hughes and maybe
Nathan
Cooper.
Jones. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's just gone to Charlton, is he, Jones? Maybe Cooper at Forest might be a shout. But other than that, you just know we'll get some, you know, I don't know, East European guy we've never heard of. And
well, we had Sabri Lamouchi, didn't we? You know.
Yeah.
We had Sabri Lamouchi, and I thought we'd probably be sticking with him, and then he was a Gary Garner, and we didn't hear anything. I get Gary Garner from a teenage daughter, by the way, just to say. But I mean, it could be the same with Errol Bullitt. You know, we're not hearing anything.
No, and I'm not sure if Pan knows what he wants or is interested in what he might want. In a sense that run of four wins almost might sort of, you know, come back to bite us on the wasp name, because that gave us that dreaded thing of hope, which is terrible for a football fan. It's the hope that kills you, they say, don't they? Because all of a sudden...
a Cardiff City fan, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All of a sudden, we're thinking, hang on. You know, you're looking at, you know, if we win the next game and a half, but... You know, now is the time to either. Well, I would say do nothing. I would stick with Bullitt and say, right, you are in for next season. You've got something to plan with. There's a small amount of budget, you know, and at least the club as a whole, including fans, can move forward with some sort of stability. But all this limping through every season from manager to manager, if you looked at our team lineup from, I don't know, even 3 years ago, there's probably very few names that were featured in the lineup. Joe Rawls, and after that, maybe some of the youngsters, Caldwell would have been on the fringes. But after that, you know, you're struggling. So stability is what this club needs. But unfortunately, owners and chairmen, don't want stability. They want it now. You know, it's like the Chancellor, you know, what is it? Jam tomorrow from managing the jam today or something?
Yeah. Nigel, I'll bring you in on the Errol Bullitt one, because the comment on the screen there from Andrew Davis, Bullitt's downfall, he's not an attacking manager. He's too negative. He's not for me next season. Mm-hmm. Some of our football's been dire this season. I'd really like, you know, I, like I said, going back to what I said earlier, I'd like to think that he tries something, it kind of works. You can see how he might score goals and kick on and goes with it, but I just don't get that good feeling with him. He's the kind of guy to do that. What are your thoughts on Bullitt?
Yeah, it's mixed, isn't he? He's a bit of a conundrum, because I think part of the problem was we started the season really well. And, you know, people were thinking we're a playoff team when we beat Bristol the end of October. Realistically, that squad is not. And, yeah, he's not an attacking manager. He's the sort of safety first one. But he's also got a squad that hasn't got a striker. And we do know that he did try to sign top line strikers last summer. I can't remember who was the guy. He ended up in France and he done his ACL, didn't he, the first couple of games. And then he tried to get Kiefer in the last window. So he is out on the looking in the market for a talented striker. But I suppose, what were our expectations for this season? For me, I wanted to see us do better at home. And although we had a horrible run in the autumn, this is actually going to be our best home season for about 4 or 5 seasons. I wanted to see us nowhere near the relegation positions. Yeah. We're not. We're mid-table. Yeah. I wanted to just do well in the derbies. And although the Swansea thing was a shambles the other week, we won 3 out of 4 this season, and we lost 7 of the last 8 in the previous 2 seasons. So okay. There are, you know, we overlook the things that are going well because the football at times has not been great, and it has been joyless. And there were periods in the winter where it was. Almost dying. We would just get lucky late away wins at places like Sheffield Wednesday and QPR that kept us going, wouldn't it?
Games we won, we weren't great in either, Nigel.
No, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah. But I think overall, I think he's done a decent job. I don't know if he wants to be here or not. That's the one question I've got. Does he even want to stay? But then you also get, you know, who is making these decisions to give all these players new contracts? We've now got a new head scout, and we from Ukraine. I'm assuming that's someone that Bullets had a say in. So why are we, you know, we're handing out contracts left, right, and centre to everyone, and making signings behind the scenes, and yet the manager is the one thing that they're not doing anything about. And I think they have to sort it out. And personally, I think I would give him another roll of the dice, because I think he's done. Although I don't enjoy his football always and the way he sets up, and sometimes he doesn't seem to learn from his mistakes. But you like to think that's partly the adjustment to the Championship, having not managed in this country before.
Yeah.
But I think he's a good man, and he's open and honest, isn't he? And sometimes that's all, you know, you can respect that. But
he's also very predictable.
Yeah, he is. I would like to see better football in the last few weeks of the season to give us something to really encourage us for next season. And if he can do that, then great. I would be in favour of giving him a contract, but you can't keep it stringing it along. We can't go into another summer thinking who's going to be our manager, because they need to do the groundwork now for next season.
Yeah, I mean, because we got like 7 minutes to go, so I mean, there's quite a few comments coming in. So there was a good one just now. Wales KTF 1969. I think I know who that is. He says an East European manager we never heard of. Is it Borat? But good comments knocking around. How about this one? I'll go to you, Steve, with this first, and then it was around. David's already mentioned this. It comes up a fair bit. Same person, actually. I'd move heaven and earth to get Steve Cooper here for next season, but would he come?
No, I don't want Steve Cooper. I don't want his assistant.
So you? Oh yeah, that's what you mean. Yeah, of course. Yeah. He would. He probably. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point, David. Is it?
I don't think his assistant would want to come, mind, Steve.
No.
Can I just go back as well? I think, to pick up on Nigel's point earlier on, obviously everything was very positive after Ipswich, and we'd taken the game to them. We'd beaten one of the best teams in the league this season. They've only lost, it was only the fifth time they'd lost all season when we beat them. There have been some highlights this season. The 4-0 win at Huddersfield, followed by the 2-0 home win against Bristol, when Ruben scored probably the goal of the season, when he somehow got through those two Bristol defenders and smacked the ball in. Again, the added time against Ipswich reminded me of why I do all those miles on the road during the season. I think also I'd agree with what Michael Whoops is saying there as well. Bullet has brought some talent in. Gutas and Siopis, I think generally speaking, that they've been a success. Again, going back to the autumn period, we were going really well at home, weren't we? And then we ended up snatching defeat from the jaws of victory at home to Norwich when we were 2-1 up, ended up losing 3-2 to them. There have been a number of games this season. I know, as David said earlier on, it's a lot of ifs, buts and maybes. But earlier on the season, we gave Ipswich a really good game. We gave Leeds a really good game. And then, of course, there was there were a number of games this season where we could have got more. But Leicester, we were only lost up there to a
Ipswich away.
Last game. Ipswich, we were 2-0 up and in control of the game for the first hour. They had a couple of lucky ricochets and one really good goal to beat us. So I think yes, we are constantly, the football has been dire on occasions. I'll accept that, but there have been a number of positive moments this season that we've not really enjoyed. And I mentioned earlier on a previous show that it's refreshing to have had the same manager for the whole season for the first time since I think 2018-19. Now, I'd like to have a summer where we have the same manager as the previous season going into the next season.
Yes.
Okay. And just before I come to David on that. So, Steve, how very briefly, how long would you be talking about? Are you talking about maybe a year with an option?
I'd put him on a year's rolling.
Yeah.
And then if things don't go well next season, they can then make that change in order to get somebody in to keep us in the division again. But I would hope that if he's backed to a reasonable level, given the financial fair play position, he could then build on what he's done already. I would go Nigel. I would give him another year.
And the only thing I'd say there, just very briefly on that, Steve, is I know one of the concerns he has, he's not brought his family over because he's only got a one-year contract. He's got young children, and I think they're still in Germany. So I don't think a year's contract he will take. I don't think he would take that because it just leaves him in that period of uncertainty. He needs to have a longer deal for the family purposes as well. And there is family side of football as well, and I think that will be a problem too if it's only 12 months.
That's a good point, Nigel. I hadn't thought of that. David, I don't know if you can see the comment from Jeff on the screen there. Leeds United, talking about Norwich. Leeds United went through a huge amount of managers, careful how you pronounce it, Steve, prior to Farker. They've got it right. We can do the same.
What could you be a Farker many to spend, yeah.
I think if you look at Farker as well, his first season at Norwich, he didn't do very well. It was the season we went up, and it was Farker's first season. And we beat Norwich up there 2-0 with the goals from Ken Zahor and then Junior Hoylett right at the end. And I remember thinking that's the worst Norwich team that I'd seen for quite some time. They lost their best player in James Maddison, and the following season they got promoted.
So David, again, there's talking about those teams that we played. I mean, at the start of the season, I suppose we were a bit of an unknown quantity, even to ourselves, I think, at that time. And Ramsey was looking amazing, wasn't he? We played those teams at the right time at the beginning, before the others warmed up. Are we where we should be, David, or do you think we're capable of more?
Well, as I said earlier, if you'd offered us this at the start of the season, I think we would definitely have taken it. As an aside, who's Steve Cooper's assistant? Have I missed something here?
Mr. Tate.
Tate.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah, I wouldn't fancy him, no.
I'd rather have Andrew than him.
Steve Cooper's got an appeal, but I go with Steve. I think I would try and keep, to have the same manager during the closed season going into the new setup. I'd quite welcome that. And he hasn't pulled up any trees, but he hasn't done the opposite of whatever pulling up trees is either. You know, there's been if we could get some sort of striker, come someone to create, you know, if Callum O'Dowda, it's all ifs, as I would keep saying, if Callum O'Dowda was fit for a season,
we really missed him.
It's been a massive loss for us, that.
Yeah.
Almost as big a loss as Ramsey.
As Geraint Cole said, you know, we did lose Ramsey O'Dowda for a big bulk of the season. Yeah. We've got to talk about two things quickly before the end of the show. So tomorrow there's a bit of a match going on at the Cardiff City Stadium, a little bit of a, you know, an important game. So maybe we can talk about that very briefly. Are you covering the game tomorrow, David?
Yes, I'm in the press box tomorrow.
Cool. Okay. So I want to ask you, start off with you, and I was on a good Steve, and then I got a Nige. So we got Wales, Poland tomorrow. Prediction for that, and also then when we have Sunderland on Friday, two very different matches in the same stadium, and very different things on the table for both, really.
Sunderland 2-2 draw tomorrow. People were saying to me, what was the atmosphere like last week? And I said, well, it wasn't as intense as I have seen it, because in the past we've had to roar the team over the line, or the crowd have had to roar the team over the line. But that wasn't needed last week. It was relatively relaxed. And, you know, never in any doubt, really, apart from that late goal. I think it's going to be slightly different tomorrow. But I think we've got so much strength in depth. Instead of relying on A Bale or A Giggs or A Rush, we've got really good players all over the pitch and on the bench. And I think Wales will win. Maybe 1-0.
Okay. Steve, come to you.
Okay, I will go for a 2-0 win tomorrow night, with the crowd being more intense, as David indicates there. I'd go for a 2-1 home win against Sunderland, and not forgetting that we got Easter Monday away at Coventry. I'll go for a 2-1 win there as well, because they're going to get a bit jittery now as we get towards the end of the season, and their eyes are going to be on their FA Cup semi-final against Manchester City.
Okay. And the only two Polish players...
United.
Matty Cash plays for Poland. Is that right? I think that's right.
Yeah, but he's out tomorrow. Pulled the hamstring. Yeah.
And then you got Lewandowski, who's about 34, 35, but he's
36 this summer.
Yeah, but he's just his pedigree. It says it all. Nigel, what's your thoughts tomorrow?
I think it's going to be tight. It might even need extra time. And
I think so.
Maybe penalties, but
I said I think penalties.
Yeah, I don't think we got anything to fear. If you look at Poland in the group, they lost three of the four away games they had, and the only one they won was in the Faroe Islands. They're not playing great football at the moment. Although I did see Wales only beaten once, which was the first meeting 50 years ago. And the last nine meetings, we've lost seven, drawn two, including the two games in the Nations League recently. I was there at the 2-0. I remember that one.
Trevor Hockey score.
Yes.
Games, I
think you're right. So, when you look at their team, I don't think there's too many players that should worry. Yes, and we've been talking about Cardiff playing this, not playing front foot football. That's the one thing that Wales will do. Maybe they need to start with Kiefer. I wasn't overly convinced by Brennan playing centre forward the other night. No. But I think Kiefer will give them more problems. So I would like to see that change. I think we will win. I do think we'll win, but it's going to be a nail biter. Weekend. The Sydney game's on Friday, isn't it? I only realised that yesterday.
Yeah.
I do think they're going to win 2-0 or 2-1. Sunderland are in dire form. They've taken 1 point from the last seven, and that was a 0-0 draw with QPR last match. So they're not playing well at the moment, and hopefully we can keep it that way.
Okay, and they are actually 5 points behind us. They are very much mid-table side. We're right towards the end here, David, but I just wanted to ask you, you've obviously been having a conversation with the guy who's involved with the fan base at Sunderland, I imagine, in the conversation you've had. Yeah. I wonder how he feels about the game and what's he predicting?
I haven't got that from him yet. He's just reached out to me to ask for him for his predictions. But last time I did this when we were away, I put in my views, and he put a very Sunderland emphasis on my response. I'll be interested to see that. But it'll be interesting to see how many Sunderland bring as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be a relatively meaningless game, but it's a bank holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they could bring, I'm sure they'll sell their allocation.
Good support.
Good
support, yeah.
Okay, well we haven't got time now to talk about that time. Do you battle them 4-1 after they won the FA Cup? Was that right years ago? I think that's
yes, the case. John Farrington, I think.
We'll leave that for next Monday, yeah?
You're right.
Anyway, thanks a lot, guys. Good show. Let's hope Wales to do it tomorrow in the city.
Also come on, Wales.
Cheers all.
Come
See ya.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.